This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. When we think about things that have revolutionized our culture, the stereotypical image is of the lone genius. People like Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, or Steve Jobs. And while each of those people, obviously, made world-changing contributions, the reality of innovation is more complicated than the stereotype. Writer Joshua Wolf Schenck says we should double the conventional wisdom. His new book, Powers of Two, makes the case that it is creative pairs that make the greatest contributions. Schenck joins us via Skype this morning to go into more detail on what he's talking about. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Why do you think the lone genius model seems to carry so much weight in popular culture?
There are a couple of factors. It meshes with a view of individuality that's been the dominant mode in our culture for hundreds of years. And there are all kinds of really interesting reasons behind that. The other factor is that it's just a great story. You know, we're really drawn to the idea of the hero sort of moving across a thicket of difficulties and coming back with the prize. And, you know, on the stage, it is often very simple and clear to have a spotlight on one person, and that's often the way that we organize our understanding of history. It's extremely pervasive, both with history and contemporary culture, covers of magazines, biographies. It's just a very compelling way to think about the world because it's simple, it's clear, and we feel like we're getting a handle on something that's inherently mysterious, and that is the nature of creativity, inherently mysterious.
So what got you thinking that the conventional wisdom might not be right?
I started out thinking about this thing we call chemistry or synergy, this quality between people that leaves them both feeling elevated, smarter, sharper, just more engaged. And I for myself, feel like when I'm having these moments of chemistry, I'm almost a different person. I wanted to try to understand it. And I thought if I looked at great partnerships like Lennon and McCartney or Watson and Crick, who co-discovered DNA, that maybe I could get to the heart of this experience of chemistry. And then, so I started making lists of pairs, and then I began to see partnerships where I had not known there was anything but a great lone genius, partnerships operating behind Martin Luther King's work and Vincent van Gogh's work and Warren Buffett's work and Steve Jobs. And one by one, these ostensible lone geniuses came to seem like they were very much enmeshed in critical relationships. And that led me to think that this thing called chemistry is not incidental. It's not some far out quality, but it's actually very fundamental to the way that creativity works in the first place.
Well, and you write a lot about Lennon and McCartney throughout this book. And I guess the question is, what did you see in their partnership in particular that was emblematic of the way pair creativity works as a whole?
They hit all the themes, starting with the way they met. When you think about this quality of chemistry or electricity, it usually begins with the juxtaposition of profound similarities and rapport and alignment. For John and Paul, they love the same music. They were both very ambitious and driven to perform. They're both extremely charismatic kids. At the same time, you see these pairs who have the same alignment. They're just radically different. It's almost like they are of a different species. John Lennon was brash and swaggering and idiosyncratic, and he could hardly leave a sentence alone. He was always punning. And Paul McCartney was very meticulous and ordered and drawn to tradition and structure. So this combination of great likeness and great dislikeness created both their synergy and the tension between them, and that runs all the way through their partnership. They also made this decision very early on when they were teenagers to co-credit everything they did. And that was a critical move toward establishing a joint identity, which is the next thing that pairs have to do after this love at first sight feeling that you often have when you first see someone. You have to actually build a partnership, which often takes time and it requires the sacrifice to some extent of the individual ego, which John and Paul understood instinctively.
Right. You're right that their success didn't so much come from two individuals, but rather this singular partnership.
Yes, and yet at the same time, they maintained their individuality, and they even replenished it and nourished it. And in a way, they became more and more alike, and they also became more and more different. One of the myths of John and Paul is that in the mid-60s, when they started spending increasing time apart, that was the end of their partnership. Actually, their partnership took on a whole new life, as many partnerships do. And this is one of the things that surprised me the most in my research, the way that distance actually is a factor in creative relationships. And that movement between your individual qualities and your qualities as a pair, and getting that right, turns out to be absolutely essential. One of the other myths that we really have to beat down is this idea that solitude is incompatible with collaboration, when in fact, at its best, people have just the right amount of solitude in order to collaborate, and collaboration will facilitate and encourage this quality of creative solitude.
You hinted at this a bit before, that another classic example that repeats itself is the star and the person in the shadows, but that concept can maybe be oversimplified. I mean, you use, for example, Vincent van Gogh and his brother Theo as maybe representative of that kind of partnership.
Very often in history, we know the person who, you know, whose job is to be publicly represented. We know the guy who is in the chair, you know, interviewing the guests, and like Conan O'Brien or Jay Leno. We don't know the guy who is behind the camera, who's producing, who's arranging, who's organizing. Vincent van Gogh and his brother Theo are a classic case. We know the painter. We don't know the art dealer. We know the wild, adventurous one. We don't know the one who put up with the daily indignities of office life. And yet, when you get underneath it, it's not the creative one and the one who supported him. It's two people who are together doing a creative act. And both Vincent and Theo van Gogh thought that that work that was had Vincent's name was co-created.
How fully do you think the creative pair has to appreciate the complementary roles that they play? Do they need to get it intuitively? And if they don't get it, does it doom the partnership?
So long as the work is good, you can have any kind of attitude about it. You could be reluctant, you could be eager, you could be in love, you could, you know, you may not even like your partner. You know, the varieties of electric experience are enormous. Penn and Teller said that, you know, in the early days, they regarded each other like they were two guys who owned a dry cleaning shop together, very cold and clinical. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis had this just marvelous friendship. They did everything together. And Jerry Lewis, in his memoir, you know, his memoir is called Dean and Me, A Love Story. So you also could be married. You can be having sex. You could be siblings. You can be on opposite continents. There are enormous varieties, which I think is really important, because ultimately the purpose of this book is to try to articulate to people that, A, this is absolutely fundamental to have creative connection in your life, and B, it can look like many different things depending on who you are and what kind of work you do and what your needs are as an individual. And that sense of possibility combined with that sense of universality, because this is the universal thing. It's just not been talked about that much.
Well, right. So is the message at the heart of this that maybe we need to evaluate our connections with the people around us?
You know, it's different for different people. Some people are fully in a creative relationship. They often need help clarifying it, doing work around the edges. Some people are in a creative relationship and they don't know it. Some people really do need more and need to actively cultivate this quality in their lives. A lot of people have, you know, suffered because they think that they can do it on their own much more than they can, and they've just not been educated. And there are a lot of people who are aspiring writers who just don't understand the role that an editor plays in a writer's life. And that's because editors don't get attention, and they're not written about in biographies nearly as much as they ought to be. And that's often the case, that these hidden partners and the relationships that the hidden partners are a part of are not given proper attention. And so the first thing, though, I think, is to not compare yourself to Lennon, McCartney, or Watson and Crick, but to recognize that it begins with a feeling. It begins with the smallest feeling of arousal and excitement and interest that's generated in another person's presence. Or even by thinking about another person, it may be a matter of, you know, engaging with someone with whom you're exchanging letters or emails. It doesn't have to be necessarily someone who's in the same room as you.
I wonder if this is maybe one of the great underappreciated gifts that the Beatles gave us, that not only was there this music at the heart of what they did, but there's this partnership that is sort of infinitely interesting to take apart.
It is. And it's, you know, and we'll never fully understand it. It's one of the great stories, and the work they left us is so profound. And, you know, I think it's frustrating to people too, because there is a relentless effort to take them apart. You know, you see endless Lennon biographies and McCartney biographies, and there's this constant argument who was better and who did what, when in fact the real question is, how did they relate to each other? How did they charge each other up? How was competition and rivalry actually a part of what bound them together and elevated them individually and together? It's an enormously beautiful and relentlessly complicated relationship, and all of us know what that's like because we, you know, pay attention to our love relationships and our friendships, and we know the mix of emotion that is wrapped up in it. And it's the same thing when we get to the heart of what has generated the great creative works.
And of course, in the heat of the moment, it's rare that we're able to take a step back and say, wow, this is, you know, despite the fact that I'm fighting with my partner, whether it's a romantic partner or a creative partner or a work partner, whatever, you rarely take a step back and say, this is what makes this work so well.
It's easy to take for granted, and it's easy to, you know, it's easy to move to all kinds of negative emotions. I mean, humility is one of the fundamental characteristics of partnerships that do well. Because when you are exposed to someone for long enough to be able to do great work with them, you need to be able to tolerate all the ways that they rub up against you. I mean, the cliche of the oyster and the grain of sand is absolutely applicable. Sometimes it's true that this other cliche, you know, peanut butter and chocolate, is also true. It just seemed natural and easy, and you're good at this and I'm good at this and we just do better together. But a lot of times it's the creative tension that generates great work, and you need to just relax into that and accept it, and accept that the person who's going to make you better is going to challenge you. I mean, that's fundamental. People who are just like us and who think the way we think, and who, you know, who don't bring something very different to the table, are not going to help us grow.
Well, it's really interesting stuff. Joshua Wolfshank, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
I really appreciate it, and thanks so much for having me.
Joshua Wolfshank is the author of Powers of Two, Finding the Essence of Innovation in Creative Pairs. Shank is a writer in Los Angeles and also directs a series on creativity called Arts in Mind, and is on the general counsel of the Moth Storytelling Series. Shank's book features some important scientific partners, Watson and Crick, Marie and Pierre Curie. After the break, how an increasing number of scientists are looking for many partners in their research, and how you can be one of them. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.